Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I don't think that there's anybody who didn't know about the fires in Cape Town last week. And I've been following the case, obviously, and just like you. And what's very interesting is that the suspect was arrested, charged with arson. He's been, he was arrested, I think it was last Sunday. And the court was about to hear the case, and it's been postponed to verify his address. So I wanted to know about that. So we got hold of his lawyer. The lawyer's name is Sean Belram. He's an attorney at Belram Attorneys. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Catherine.
It's so lovely to hear from you. Well, lovely to speak to you anyway. Firstly, I think that it's commendable that you are representing the defendant or the accused. Is he the defendant or the accused?
In criminal matters, it's the accused. Thank you for having me, and it's only a pleasure to do my best to assist you and to contribute back to society.
No, I think it's amazing, because Sean is acting pro bono for him, based on the principle that everybody deserves a defense, right? So the case was postponed because you have to confirm his address. Is that correct?
That is part of the reasons why the matter was postponed. The matter was postponed for his address confirmation, also for his immigration status, and also for the bail information that was surrendered to the court to be verified regarding his criminal profile.
So let's deal with each of those points. So the first point is verifying his address. Why is this not done before it gets to court?
Well, in some matters, the state does do it if they have the opportunity, according to them, and in some matters they don't. However, the Criminal Procedure Act allows the state to apply for a 7-day remand regarding the factors I just spoke to you about upon any person being arrested. So the Act allows for this because one can assume how many cases that takes place on a weekend is quite a lot.
Yes, sure.
And detectives don't always have the opportunity to get to these things. And there's not enough detectives on standby on a weekend to actually attend to these tasks. And that's why the Criminal Procedure Act allows for that. And they can apply again, even if we go to court, and if they make some effort and the court finds it in the interest of justice, that they are entitled to apply for another remand. But one of the factors, for instance, if they weren't able to do it, but they were able to do some of the other tasks. So the Act allows for a 7-day remand, but not more than that. However, when you return on the 7 days, should the factors or the tasks not all be completed, the state can apply again. However, we are allowed to object to it, and then it's a test of the interest of justice, whether it will permit the postponement to be granted to the state or not, but the court must determine.
So as a layperson, I mean, I would look at that and, you know, I'm a layperson, but I'm also a manager. If one of my staff needed to have information and they didn't have the right information for a meeting, right, let's liken this to real life, there would be consequences. Because they can't delay the meeting while they go off to go and get the information. I mean, why doesn't the prosecution get all their ducks in a row, so to speak, before the case is heard? I mean, this is just another delay. So now this guy has to stay incarcerated for another week while his address is verified. Does it not just waste the time of the court?
Unfortunately, it is a factor that the court must consider. The Constitution allows everybody to have a right to a fair trial,
yes,
as well as a speedy trial.
Sure.
And the longer this is delayed by the state, that infringes your constitutional rights, as well as your right to apply for bail.
Right.
And your liberty. However, at the same time, the court needs to balance the equilibrium of justice in giving the state a fair opportunity to doing their work as well. And this is the way, unfortunately, how the procedure works according to the Criminal Procedure Act, that the state is allowed to apply for a 7-day remand until each appearance that they've got all the ducks in a row. However, as a defense, we can object if the delay or the remand that is applied for is unreasonable.
Yes. Yes. Okay. What was the second point that they had to verify?
His immigration status.
His immigration status. Why is that important?
In considering bail, one of the factors that the court must be satisfied with is that of a flight risk. If a person, for instance, is an illegal national in a country, it does make it difficult because they are what we would consider a flight risk, meaning they can leave at any point, and one not be able to detain them or control their movement in a particular country. For instance, if you have a visa and a passport, you are allowed to be in the country for a certain duration and they cannot exit the country. However, should someone not be in possession of a visa or a passport with a particular permit, it would be easy for them to jump across borders of neighboring states and try to escape the country.
Okay.
So it's the way to control one's movement is a factor in determining a flight risk issue. And that must be satisfied before a court can grant bail to any particular person.
Okay. Is there a difference between... let's just get to the third point, and then I want to ask you about, you know, the difference in terms of the court looking at intent. So what was the third point that the court needed to look at as to why it was delayed?
That was the bail information.
Yes.
Regarding the criminal profile of the client.
Right.
And there the court would look at his previous convictions, run-ins with the law, whether he has any matters in court that are currently pending, and also whether he had a previous matter and there was a warrant of arrest that was issued by the court. So those factors will form his bail information, taken in quantum together. So the court needs to assess that and then come to a decision, whether it will be, for instance, a Schedule 1 bail application, a Schedule 5 bail application, or a Schedule 6 bail application.
Okay. Just before I let you go, because I am going to have to unfortunately let you go, but it is very interesting to hear what you have to say on this. I'm going to give you two scenarios. One scenario, you've got somebody who is, maybe beleaguered student who holds a grudge, decides they're going to set a fire and, you know, outright arson. The second case, you've got somebody who sets a fire, leaves it unattended, or he starts a fire, leaves it unattended, and it gets out of control. Does the court take into consideration intent?
Yes, you see, in any matter, intention must be considered, what we call
motive.
Culpa. The court will determine whether it was intention or negligence that had taken place in a particular matter. Certain crimes, in fact, require the element, the criminal element of intention. So it's like unlawful intentional act. So if it is intention, it's much more serious, whereas if it's negligence, it's serious, but not as serious as intention, because one would have intended the outcome of a particular event if there was intention. However, if one was negligent, one did not act with reasonableness, the way a reasonable person should have acted in a particular set of circumstances.
Right. And just one last question, Sean, before I let you go. Have you seen My Octopus Teacher?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it as yet.
All right.
I'm hoping to soon.
All right. Well, I'm hoping somebody will let me know whether it's worth watching or not. I mean, it's just won an Oscar, right? Anyhow, Sean. Shagan, Sean Balram, attorney at Balram Attorneys, thank you very, very much for your time. And I'm sure that it won't be the last time we speak to you here on 101.9 High FM.